This is Audible.
Jagged Edge, The Arsenal Book One, written by Kara Carnes, narrated by Olivia Amayo. Chapter One. Mary Reynolds knew all about hell. She'd spent the past 15 years pulling operatives out of impossible situations. For the first time ever, she wasn't sure there was an out. Not for her. Pain seared her back, but she bit back the screams lodged in her throat. She wouldn't give them the satisfaction of hearing the jagged edges, their torment, carved into her carefully constructed mental armor. 15 years, and she'd never broken, never been anything but the edge. Hours and days had bled into one another. How long had she survived, endured? Did it even matter? Probably not. She'd been better off dead. At least then she wouldn't break, fracture into a million pieces, and answer whatever questions they asked.
"Tell me about Hera, and I'll make it stop."
A size 9-ish combat boot kicked the air from Mary's lungs.
"How does it work?"
Her new position, palms and knees on bloodied concrete, offered little in the way of solutions. Like the other 16 times, she remained silent. Blood dripped from her mouth. The stench of puke, piss, and blood, all hers, sadly none of theirs, assaulted her nostrils. Nausea threatened, but she didn't give a damn. "If I puke on his fancy boots, maybe he'll stab me." In the ear would be nice, then she wouldn't hear the screams. Hers, Vi's, they meshed in her head, a nightmarish duet she couldn't stop. Dread settled in her bones.
"You think you're so smart, Edge. You'll break."
His belt banged against undone jeans as he crouched. The bastard hadn't even bothered zipping up after... Yeah, she wasn't going to remember what he and the other assholes had done. Nothing they did would break her. She'd survive. Then they'd pay. He grabbed her hair and yanked until her vision turned watery and pain shot along her scalp. The zing of sensation cleared her blurry vision. Yes. Death glinted in the bastard's ice blue eyes.
"The other guys enjoy your partner better."
She screams real pretty, especially at the end when we spread her legs and take what we want. "She's not a fighter like you."
Mary's stomach pitched. Phantom screams pierced the determination she'd somehow drowned in so far.
"I'm sorry, Vi. This is all my fault."
"You think you're a hotshot? Can take anything? We're barely warming you up. Wait until the real fun begins," he taunted.
A distinctive mole peeked out from beneath the black ski mask. The fact filed itself with the hundreds of other details her task-oriented mind gathered to stave the madness, the terror, clawing her insides. How many more sessions could she endure? Tiny cracks formed inside her iron will, pleas from the woman she used to be, the one shouting her surrender in silent screams locked behind an operative persona.
3 times, she mumbled.
Silence ticked a few heartbeats. He cocked her head to the side and studied her from behind the mask.
"For every drop of our blood you spill, you'll lose 3 times more.
Raspy sandpaper scraped her throat with each word. The grip in her hair tightened. She plunged into the icy blue depths of his gaze. Body tight, she waited him out. The bastard had a hair trigger fuse she wanted lit.
"They'll come for me, you know, when they do," I'm going to hang you from a hook, bleed you out like the pig you are. Then pickle your shriveled jerkin for a trophy.
Is that so?
Amusement punctured the false pitch in his voice.
Who gives a shit if you live or die? You're a sorry fat ass to back office geek. No one will miss you.
Is that so? She parroted. We'll see who's right.
You're too far off radar. No one's ever coming for you.
Her pulse quickened. No, someone will come. Stay strong, stay quiet, stay focused. Survive. You really think you're that smart? Please, you're a mid-level operative at best. Hell, you don't even know half of what Hive really does. Let me guess, you've been stuck in surveillance and political protection, right? She leaned back on her heels. His gaze slithered downward, honed on her bare breasts.
You're easily winded, which means you're not on any important team. An enemy would hear you coming from a mile away, she spat angrily. No way Quillery or I would put you in a real operational theater, which means you're stateside, protecting some political blowhard with a bank account, probably one of Drix's clients. Addie wouldn't let wannabes like you anywhere near Peter's playground.
That bitch has no business running Hive, he growled.
He hauled her up and to the corner. She punched and kicked. He punched harder. Pain exploded outward from beneath her right eye. Dazed, she wobbled on bare feet. Chains rattled. Cold metal dug into her bloodied wrists. The thick, heavy links scraped the concrete floor. When he turned, needle in hand, panic pierced the anger she channeled the past few moments. She angled left when he went right.
Stupid bitch, there's no avoiding it.
The liquid burned going in. He kicked her behind the knees and angled her toward the mattress. Skin and blood coated the filthy surface. But Mary didn't care since it was all hers. Riotous pain shot along her back. Lightning sharp, followed by thunderous throbs. She'd forgotten about her back. Courtesy of two, no three, sessions ago. Her distorted vision tunneled, clouded like a fog rolling into the small cell. The burn seeped through her veins, scurrying like a nest of spiders until a heady cobweb of numb entombed her. She floated, drifted in a hazy, toxic prison.
Enjoy the show, he taunted. I'll make sure she screams extra loud for you this time.
No. The plea for mercy perched itself on Mary's tongue. She bit until coppery metallic filled her mouth. Don't ever beg. Someone will come. Stay strong. Stay quiet. Stay focused. Survive. She closed her eyes and drifted in the numb. Floated. Forgot.
Mary!
The scream pierced the silence. She jolted awake. Razors stabbed her insides when she breathed too deep. Broken ribs sucked. A cough, wet and deep, rattled her body, ratcheting the pain up another notch. She blinked fast and focused on the narrow window along the ceiling. A warehouse. Property records would give names. No sun or light filtered from behind the dirty glass. The ringing in her ears distorted the raised voices from the cell next door. Her pulse pounded behind her eyes, a painful punch every couple seconds. Eyelids closed, Mary dragged in a shallow breath and focused on the sounds.
I don't know her codes!
Panic and fear hiked Vi's voice, a couple octaves higher than normal.
Mary's gut clenched.
Please, don't hurt me, please.
Long, loud, life-altering screams. Trapped within the numbness, Mary laid there, silent, witness to the horrors her best friend endured because of her.
Tears burned her eyes, but she didn't cry.
They'd create a new fissure in her armor. One more, and she'd crack.
No, please, no, not again.
Vi's high-pitched pleas wormed their way through the toxic waste in Mary's veins.
Mary!
I'm sorry.
Mary whispered into the cavernous space.
I'm sorry.
It's your fault, you know.
Chains rustled across the dank cell. Damn, she'd forgotten about her cellmate in hell, the worthless slug who'd cracked the first round. Glenn Bench, low-level operative in the wrong place during the snatch and grab. She shifted on the mattress, gaze focused anywhere but him.
What's so damn important?
He demanded. If she held her breath, she could hear water crashing onto concrete in the nearby cell. Mary coughed, feeling the burn in her nose and lungs. Water still dribbled from her hair. Or was it blood? Hell if she knew. Hell if she cared. Hell if it mattered. Hell.
He's not screaming anymore. Probably died the last round.
Glenn laced each word with accusation.
She won't last much longer. None of us will.
Good. If we die, we win. Hera remained secure. Dead. Just like its creators. She and her best friend, Vi, had started developing the cutting-edge security program when they were in college, to pass the time while everyone else drank their brains away at frat parties. Heuristic Engagement Recovery Apparatus, or HERA for short, was the ultimate weapon for the good guys. She'd never imagined this happening, neither had Vi. They'd been so stupid. If the bastards who'd taken them got access to Hera, that couldn't happen. It wouldn't.
I guess what they say is true.
Mary offered no reply. He was a distraction. Was the water still going?
You really are an ice-cold bitch.
Yeah, she was.
I heard stories about you, figured they were bullshit. You and Quillery, Hive's Quillery Edge.
He laughed.
What a joke.
Mary blinked. One, two, three. Faster each time. Her brain misfired. Hell, what was after three? Right. Five. Okay, back on track. Someone had shoved her in a tilt-whirl. The mattress spun. Her pulse sounded in her ears, rapid fire keeping time to the screams. Why couldn't the heartbeat drown out the screams? Penance.
You even listening?
No. How can you even form words?
The joke's on me. I got a little boy, Johnny,
Glenn said. Poor kid. No one wants a worthless slug for a dad.
I'm not going to live to take him to his first ball game because I saw that van barreling toward you and didn't think.
Her gut clenched, throat tight. She took the pained confession filled with regret. When her system burned off the toxin in her veins, she'd feel the blow. Until then, she floated.
I should have known the money was too good. Hive was too good. I should have minded my own business.
Anger thickened the reeds of air she dragged in through shallow breaths.
I shouldn't be here. This is all your fault.
Vi's screams pierced the air.
Mary's reality shattered into a million bleeding shards. The excruciating torment in the next cell silenced Glenn.
Mary!
each plea cut deeper than the last until her soul bled out on the concrete.
No, please, no. It hurts so bad. Please, make them stop, Mary.
Screams morphed into whimpered cries. Each one dragged her closer to the ground until she hovered, lost in a hazy fog as she focused on the cries, then the grunts and slaps of skin on skin echoing from the cell next door. Helpless, useless, each agonizing second battered Mary's determination. Rage forged her resolve into a honed blade, one she'd use to get vengeance. Vi pleaded and screamed and cried, each wail longer and louder than the last. Glenn hid his face, hands pressed against his ears. Mary lay there, floating on a thin sheet of numbness. Rage pumped adrenaline into her system. For every wound they suffered, their tormentors would get three. I swear we'll get vengeance, Vi. Someone will come. Stay strong. Stay quiet. Stay focused. Survive. A loud bang, then another and another. Concrete crumbled.
Dust, smoke, and flecking debris floated in the air and filled Mary's nostrils.
Her ears rang, her eyes burned. Shots and gunfire erupted.
Jesus!
Glenn bolted toward the cell door.
Here! Over here!
Her chest and lungs burned with each cough. She rolled to her side to stave the drowning sensation. Pain shot up her arm, exploded along her shoulder. Sharp knives dug into her sides.
On your knees.
The gruff voice penetrated the obnoxious ringing in Mary's ears. She settled a palm on concrete, then the other. Knees. Right.
She'd make it happen. Somehow.
If this was an exfil, she was on board with knees. Where are my knees? She fell back to the mattress. To hell with it.
Not telling you again, man. Get on your fucking knees.
Gritty, gruff, growly. The harder-than-granite voice grew louder. A tall, muscular frame loomed in the cell entry. The business end of a semi-automatic rifle swept from Glenn to her. Tension coiled in her stomach as the man slid in.
Stealth and steel encased in smooth, synchronous movements.
Get me out of here, man. Please, I've got a kid.
Glenn's voice cracked. Ugh, Slug was crying again. Disgusted, Mary grunted and fought her way to a semi-upright position. What had he ordered? Knees. Right. Pain shot up her thighs. Her right arm hung limply at her side. Dislocated. Broken. Whatever. No way it was getting raised. She blinked, eyes burning. She suppressed the watery cough lodged in her clogged throat.
Bravo. Charlie has eyes on two packages. Repeat, two packages secured.
The gun lowered. Black marks ran below past your green eyes and down across a firm, square jawline. Dark hair, so brown it was almost black, hung in disarray around the man's handsome face. Mary knew that face. Relief washed through her. The sensation struck like a tsunami. Dizziness assailed her. Her stomach roiled. But she didn't have the energy to puke. Exfil. She'd survive. Two packages secured. The man's words ricocheted through her. No, no, no.
Three.
She rasped the words. Intense green eyes settled on her, then returned to Glenn, who'd stood.
Get on your knees,
the man repeated to her fellow cellmate.
It hurts,
he whined.
Not telling you again.
The threat hung in the room. A fourth presence Mary suspected would overpower the man cowering beside her.
Three.
She repeated, Her throat burned and throbbed with the effort she expended. The man released his grip on the rifle. It settled against his side from the strap wrapped around thick, muscular shoulders and arms. Mary trembled when he reached into a pocket and pulled out a water bottle. Long legs ate the space between them until her tunneling gaze saw only thighs. He palmed her chin.
"You're safe now, Edge. We've got you."
"Vi," she said, licking her lips. She peered up. Pain shot along her spine, pulsated throughout her head. It felt as though they'd set off a flashbang in her brain rather than the warehouse.
"Drink,"
he ordered. Liquid flowed between her cracked lips. Swallowing proved difficult, but the water tasted better than aged wine as far as Mary was concerned. She drank heavily until a firm hand yanked the bottle away. A growl rumbled from her throat.
"We need to assess injuries first," he said.
"Right, of course." Mary collapsed backward, ignoring the biting pain along her back. She'd run 1,000 different scenarios on how her rescue would happen.
"Help, Vi. She's next door. I'm expendable."
His eyebrows furrowed. He tapped the comm link in his ear.
"Bravo. Package one indicates presence of a third item."
Mary's guts twisted.
Package. Item. Did she sound so callous on the comm? No wonder everyone considered her the Ice Queen. She crawled on her knees. The pace was painful and pointless. She was hauled back to the mattress.
"Where the hell are you going?"
the man demanded.
"To help Vi. The item."
Full lips upturned into a smirk so slight Mary thought it was her imagination at first. She'd handled countless operations, worked with hundreds of operatives. Few merited her remembering their name. Dylan Mason was an exception. He and his brothers were almost more legend in the paramilitary theater than she and Quillery, and Hive. She'd had a few interactions with Dylan and his new organization, the Arsenal. Their paths didn't cross much since they were competitors, but she and Vi had intended to change that. Anger seeped into her thoughts. Hive was burned. Everything she'd worked for was gone. Vi.
Fear pulsated beneath her skin.
An uncontrollable beast roaring in her veins.
"I'm expendable. Secure Vi. That's an order."
"Not taking orders from you, Edge. Not today."
His lips thinned. Gaze narrowed. He ran his hands along her from head to toe.
"Bravo. Charlie requires medical exfil."
"I can walk,"
she argued through a wheezed cough.
"Take a back seat on this one, Edge. We're doing this by the numbers."
Concern flickered in his voice, softened the edges.
"To hell with the numbers. Get your ass to the next cell and secure Vi."
She grabbed his arm and squeezed. Damn, he was big. In a different time and place, she'd appreciate that. All that mattered right now was getting Dylan to help Vi.
"You're smarter than the average operative, Mason. Secure Vi, that's an order."
She swallowed.
"You always follow orders."
The right side of his mouth upturned. The sexy smirk beat some of the hazy fog in her brain aside. Her pulse quickened.
"That's so? I'm wondering how you'd know. But you are the Edge. You have your ways."
"Huh, but I do. I have so many ways,"
she mumbled.
"We've been watching you. The Arsenal. Things were getting hot at Hive. We needed out."
"You never called."
"Didn't get the chance,"
she admitted.
"Vi's hurt. Please, help her."
"Edge, Quillery isn't here. The cell is empty."
No.
She shook her head and crawled toward the opening, but he crouched in her way.
She's not here, Edge.
His lips thinned.
She never was.
No, I heard her. She's here.
Screaming, begging.
Let's get you secured. Then we'll get Vi on the comm. Prove she's okay.
Get out of my way.
She gritted through clenched teeth. Pain stabbed up her thighs and arms. Dylan muttered something about stubborn women. He stood, crouched, and she was suddenly in his arms. Tension coiled in her body as she settled against him.
This will be quicker.
A few long strides later, and she was in an empty cell. No. Vi was just screaming from this cell. She stared at the empty cot and dry floor. There wasn't even a sink or a hose or restraints or...
How? Why?
Mary knew the why and the how. It was all a ruse, an elaborate hoax designed to break her faster. Vi hadn't been there. Thank God. While the woman in her was grateful her best friend was safe and unharmed, the operative in her reeled from the betrayal, the anger. They would pay. Whoever did this would pay.
How did you get in on the exfil?
She demanded.
I'm thinking debrief can wait until you're secured and your injuries are tended to.
Don't manage me, Mason. I'm not a civilian.
She peered up into his intense green gaze.
I need answers. Retribution.
You'll get what you need, Edge. We'll make sure you do.
His jaw twitched when silence ticked by a few heartbeats.
Jesus, you are more stubborn than I heard. We got a call. We'll debrief later at the arsenal. We need you secured first.
Secured? What a joke. Mary had once thought there was such a thing as safety. Security. What a crock of horseshit. Pain crawled along her back. Her entire body throbbed and ached. Dylan set her on the narrow cot.
I shouldn't have moved you.
He stood.
I'll be back with medical. They want you checked out before we proceed with exfil.
Dylan Mason prowled the narrow corridor leading to Edge's cell. 20 minutes. Doc Logan had been back there with her for 20 minutes. The spook didn't take that long. Ever.
Cords rounded up all the surveillance footage, and all computers.
Marshall said.
No sign of other prisoners. Vi was never here. Someone wanted Edge broken, but why?
Dylan put a hand on his hip and glared at his brother.
What the hell did we just step into? No clue, but we'll sort it out.
Edge. They'd done a number on her. He'd barely recognized her from the photo sent. The fierce operative who'd pulled him and a couple of his brothers out of more than one FUBAR situation had been in hell. If they hadn't taken the call seriously...
Any luck tracking the anonymous call? Cord's working it.
Marshall motioned down the narrow hall, where Logan prowled silently toward them, hands fisted at his sides. The man glared at Marshall, then Dylan.
Whatever this is, I'm in. The agency might have a different take on your participation,
Marshall commented,
though you're always welcomed at the arsenal. Consider it done.
The man looked over his shoulder at the cell.
She's stabilized, for now. I'll need a medical facility to assess her internal injuries. And the loudmouth?
Dylan asked.
Beaten, injured leg.
His jaw twitched. Eyes narrowed. He shook his head.
This whole thing smells. Agreed,
Marshall said.
We're taking her to Texas, the compound. If she's stable enough for transport. Since I'm going, yeah. We'll need a quiet, secure area for her. I know you have former soldiers in and out, both for your organization and the Warrior's Path project.
The less eyes on her, the better, until we get everything sorted.
You handle the healing, Dylan growled. Leave the rest to us.
She'll be traumatized when she wakes. You should track down Addison Ruggers, Addie. She's in real tight with Quillery and Edge.
Logan offered.
If you can't find Vi, Addie's a good alternative.
We sure bringing Vi into this is a good idea?
Dylan asked.
You think she's dirty?
Marshall said.
Mary thought she was here. What if she's involved?
No way,
Logan replied.
Those two are tight, yin and yang. No way they'd turn on one another. I agree. Everyone knows when you get one, you get the other. Quillery's an obvious weakness for Edge, and vice versa. Nolan's hunting Vi and Addie. They'll be notified. We're closing the circle there, for now.
Marshall crossed his arms and rocked back on his heels. Big Brother was 10 shades of angry.
First, Peter Rugger has an accident. Now, one of the best back-office computer operators in existence is nearly killed. What the hell is up with Hive?
We'll find out,
Dylan promised.
We owe that to Edge. Quillery, they'll both want blood. Then there's Addie. I doubt Peter's little sister will be okay with what happened here.
Though they had very little interaction with Hive since Peter's demise, Dylan and his brothers had heard rumors. Hive was dirty and losing cred fast, which explained why the Arsenal had more work than they could handle, even though they'd barely hung up their shingle.
Let Nolan know we're incoming and to expect visitors. I'll have Cord reach out to Vi. He says Martin Driggs has her in some backwater village.
Martin Driggs was an idiot. Peter Ruggers had been the brains and brawn behind Hive, the leading private paramilitary organization, until Dylan and his brothers formed the Arsenal. Dylan grunted. They'd tracked down whoever hurt Edge. At least one of the men they'd secured would have answers. He intended to get them.
I'm expendable.
2 hours later, the words still haunted Dylan. Edge broke, and for a brief moment, exposed a small piece of the woman beneath the ice-cold handler known throughout the Black Ops community. If a team, any team, needed a guaranteed success, they roped in Hive and demanded the Quillery-Edge duo. Vi was the voice, the calm amid the storm, gathering data and dispensing life-saving solutions like she was handing out birthday cake. And Edge? Edge was the rarely heard lethal solution machine, the brilliant mind who earned her nickname with fearless, unbelievably dangerous solutions when there were no other options. Rumor had it, she had a 100% success rate, but there was no way. No one was that good. Dylan had assisted in many joint ops that used Hive's dynamic duo. The standard joke on teams was Vi was the seduction, the balls deep fucking after a shit day. She got you off every time. Edge was the one you never wanted to hear, the voice that wrapped around your soul and latched on. She dragged you to safety while kneeing the Reaper. A man lost a piece of his soul to Edge, payment for a life saved.
You good?
Marshall asked, though he already knew the answer.
I'm a point on this.
Dylan ran his hand through his hair.
They might still have Quillery. We need answers.
We'll secure Edge, then go from there.
Calm, collected, and contained, Marshall never lost his cool. Dylan nodded. Yeah, securing Edge made sense. They'd handle Vi's extraction once they got the bastards they captured talking, and they would talk. Chapter 2. Dylan collapsed beside his brothers in a small living room style waiting room in their unused, until today, surgical ward. Hell, The Arsenal didn't even have a medical team on site yet. Fortunately, Logan had come along and recruited a trusted surgeon to assist. Edge had dragged the spook doctor from a certain death, and he wasn't about to bug out when she was down. He called in favors to make sure she got the best treatment possible. Logan's surgeon friend, Maisie Wynn, seemed competent enough for a bitchy piranha. She took one look at Dylan helicoptering her patient and tossed his ass out. The door was locked. He grudgingly admitted he'd gotten too close to this one. The protectiveness would go away once Mary was okay. He and his five brothers had a weak spot when it came to women getting hurt. The fact she was an operative who'd save Nolan's ass made it personal. She was a fellow operative, deserved their respect and protection. Whoever did this would pay. Jesse, Marshall, Nolan, and Dallas kept him company in the small area. Cord was at a table pounding away at the laptop. He hadn't so much as twitched except for his fingers on the keyboard. Dallas flashed an empathetic grin. Only little brothers offered. Something was up. Dylan supposed they'd handled whatever crept around the corner. They always did. For now, he paced. What was taking so long? The double doors swished open, and Logan came out in scrubs. He collapsed on the leather couch and settled elbows on his knees. Exhaustion created thick circles beneath his eyes, but it was the glinting rage in his gaze that unnerved Dylan.
I've got a bead on her girl. Driggs dragged her to some Bogota hellhole,
Cord added from the table.
I'm trying to spoof into her feed, assess the situation.
Damn, they'd already known it was an elaborate ruse. How would Edge react? The bastards had played one of the best back office operatives in the business.
They used enhanced interrogation techniques on Edge. She was drugged, which would explain the dizziness and stumbling, losing consciousness.
Marshall finished.
Son of a bitch.
Dylan sat.
Martin Driggs was the money man behind Hive,
who'd struck gold when the real brains and balls behind it died in a car accident. Dylan didn't trust the son of a bitch.
I'm glad you were available on short notice. How is she?
Marshall asked.
I have Edge stabilized, her arms set. Her injuries are all treated, what I can, at least. Three ribs will mend on their own, but I've wrapped them. Since we found the drugs on site, I was able to put her on a detox regimen. And the rest? Walk us through what happened,
Jesse ordered.
You've treated enough people in her condition to give an accurate account. I really hate that question.
Logan dragged his hand across his face.
Interrogation likely started off fairly routine. Waterboarding, sleep deprivation, white noise.
The pause thickened the silence. The man's jaw twitched.
Rape.
Nolan finished. Logan nodded. Fuck. Dylan focused the rage rolling through him and waited for the rest.
The cocktail skewed Edge's reality enough to make enhanced interrogation methods plausible. They could have been anything between the beatings, the untreated broken arm, and the drugs. I doubt she maintained silence.
You think they got what they wanted?
Cord commented.
That she broke? No way. More than likely, yes. Not many could have remained silent under those conditions, especially for the duration she endured. They had her for at least 4 days.
She's Edge, Dallas replied.
Cord's right. She didn't crack. Good thing we arrived before they decided she wasn't worth the continued effort.
Jesse glared over the table.
You got a line on Quillery yet?
Enough of one. I embedded a coded message in her data stream to come to Texas with all haste. She'll figure out the rest.
I'll clear my calendar and let my employer know I'm out of pocket indefinitely, Logan replied.
We're not reading anyone in on this, Marshall warned. The agency can't know, especially if this is Hive-related.
Understood. Logan rose from the sofa.
That woman in there bailed my ass out of a cesspit last year. She was on vacation. Quillery was drunk. So she handled the mission alone, leading a SEAL team of two Hive operatives straight to my location through an 11-hour one-way trek through jungle. When the agency denied the fact I existed, I'll pick having her back over theirs every time.
You're in on whatever this is.
I'm in on whatever this is, Logan repeated.
Someone will need to fill Edge in when she's awake. I recommend sedating her until she's recovered some.
Marshall nodded.
Has anyone tracked down Addie yet?
Logan asked.
Cord's working on it, Nolan replied.
I am? Cord's voice rose from the table. I'm not the back office genius.
You'll do, Marshall commented.
Dylan smirked as his brothers went at one another. The gallows rapport eased the tension in the room. Logan captured his gaze and nodded. He followed the doctor through the double doors and into a small bedroom that had been turned into a hospital room. Jesus, too many wires came from her. Machines beeped and squawked. How could anyone rest with all the noise and the lights? Obnoxious fluorescence spilled into her eyes from just above her bed. Dylan reached over and flicked them off. There, that'd be more comfortable. He lowered the noise on the machines and dragged a chair near the bedside. Edge was paler than before. He grasped her good hand and squeezed gently enough for her to feel the contact.
You're safe, Mary. They aren't getting to you again. We're here.
Water flooded her nostrils. Don't breathe. Don't breathe. Her lungs burned. She kicked and punched. Pain shot up her arm, down her legs. Water continued flooding her nose, her mouth. The wet rag molded against her face. Dying. She clawed at the invisible hands pinning her down. Alarms blared around Mary. Confusion silenced the screams ripping from her throat. Pain engulfed her, signaling she was alive. Her side hurt. She forced a shallow, hesitant breath. A strong, warm hand held hers. A rugged, gravelly voice boomed in her ear.
Open your eyes, Mary.
Soft lighting in the corner helped ease the transition as she ignored the pain and focused on the man looming above her. Fear clawed her insides, but her mind fired off a name before panic ensued. Dylan. She tugged her good hand from his grip and reached for the mask over her face.
Easy, Edge, he whispered. They're going to switch it out, okay? You're safe. You're at the arsenal. Breathe for me, sweetheart.
Mary took a hesitant breath, then another. Cool, fresh oxygen entered with each inhalation. She maintained the death grip on his hand and focused on the green depths of his eyes as she dragged in one breath after another, not drowning. At the arsenal. Safe. She repeated the three thoughts, allowing no others as her mind buzzed and her senses battled to understand her surroundings. A cool breeze swept across her skin from the left. Her right hand was in a cast up to her elbow.
Hi there, Edge. Remember me?
A handsome man with dark brown hair falling around his stubble-covered jawline appeared in her peripheral vision. He seemed familiar. Logan Callister. Ah, yes. The spook doctor left in a jungle by his bastard comrades.
You ready for me to switch you out of that mask?
He asked gently, his movements not bringing him any closer. Mary nodded and earned a smile. She took another hesitant breath and angled her body closer to Dylan on the other side. Logan showed her a clear tube, which he set on the bed beside her.
This will help you breathe until you're doing better on your own. It goes into your nostrils, but won't obstruct your face in any way, okay?
Mary nodded. Breathing was good. Great. He switched the stuff out with a practiced efficiency, never once making her feel frightened or uncomfortable. Not that she'd feel comfortable anytime soon. Everything hurt. Painkillers numbed some of the aches, but did nothing to erase the memories. They'd almost broken her. If Dylan and his brothers hadn't... What ifs didn't solve problems. Focus on facts. Get answers. She relaxed back into the pillow behind her and watched Logan cautiously. Dylan must have called him in. Former Army Ranger, CIA doctor, an unknown variable. She hadn't wanted outsiders involved. Too many lives hung in the balance as it was. Vi. Machine screamed as she caught Dylan's hand.
Vi.
The name squeezed out of her sore throat.
Settle back. Everyone's okay.
The calm, even order mixed with assurance eased her angst. The empty cell thundered through her thoughts, a shock rocking everything she'd survived. She hadn't been there. No. I heard her screams, her pleas. Questions listed in her mind. She'd get answers later. An overwhelming floating sensation spread through her.
I've given you a mild sedative. Nothing too strong. Just enough to combat your anxiety, okay?
Logan asked.
No drugs. Stay awake. See Vi.
Mary forced the fractured thoughts out. Why was talking so hard?
She needs rest, Dylan.
She couldn't rest until she saw Vi, knew for sure she was safe, unharmed.
No. See Vi.
She sounded like a belligerent child, but she couldn't form whole sentences. An itchy, raw sensation crawled along her throat. No matter how much she rubbed, she couldn't ease the ache.
We had to insert a breathing tube during surgery. The discomfort will go away soon. You woke earlier than I expected.
Logan did the whole stethoscope in the ear thing and settled the cool metal circle on her chest.
Do you know where you are?
The arsenal?
She replied.
That's right. It's Thursday. Do you remember when you were taken?
Friday.
Almost a week ago. Her gut twisted. Memories flooded her, but she pushed them back. No good came from reliving what they'd done.
Do you prefer Edge or Mary?
Logan asked.
Edge keeps me focused,
she responded. His lips thinned to an almost imperceptible presence on his face.
Are you okay with Dylan being here while we go over things?
Yes.
The response was immediate, a bit shocking. While Mary didn't know him personally, she trusted him more than anyone else right now, and she needed someone in her corner. This was more than she was trained to handle. He'd shown up, rescued her.
Would you like me to go over your injuries?
He asked gently.
No.
She gritted through clenched teeth.
I remember what they did.
The ribs will heal on their own. Your arm should take 4 to 6 weeks. I operated to inflate your lung.
Logan sat on a stool beside the hospital bed.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Vi.
Logan glanced at Dylan. They did the awkward man-speak chin lift and grunt thing she'd seen too many times with Hive operatives.
Mary, you were subjected to a highly concentrated regimen of drugs, Logan said.
I know.
Edge, they were hallucinogenic, Dylan said. They showed up in your tests.
Why would they do that?
That's what we need to figure out,
Dylan replied.
We'll save the full debrief until you're more rested, but we need to know what you remember about Vi.
You said she wasn't there. Why would you ask about her?
Mary sat up in the bed. She had to be around somewhere.
She wasn't there, Edge.
Dylan gripped her hand and squeezed. The firm contact drew her gaze, forced her mind to focus.
She was never there.
I heard her screams,
she whispered into the silence.
She had to have been there. I must have passed out, and they moved her before you came.
And cleaned up the cell she was in. Yeah, right. You aren't that stupid, Mary. Focus.
Were you kept together or separate?
Logan asked.
Separate, but I could hear her.
Mary wet her lips and forced her mind back to the cells.
They spent an hour with her. Then they played cards and drank. Then it was my turn.
An hour each time, an established pattern,
Logan asked.
How did you know how long?
A clock on the wall across from the cells?
Vi's was next to yours,
Dylan asked. Mary nodded mutely.
Could you see the questioning area from your cage?
No, it was too far to the right. I could only hear.
She looked between the two men. Ask Glenn. He was there, and another man with Vi. Glenn knew him. I didn't get a name.
I'll talk to him again,
Dylan said.
She wasn't there, Edge.
I heard her,
she whispered. Phantom screams scraped across her mind. Wait, heard. She'd screamed the entire time they interrogated Vi. Her throat burned at the thought, but Vi only yelled when they had her, never when I was... Mary cut off the statement as her mind processed the implication and added in what she'd seen when Dylan carried her to the cell beside hers, the empty cell.
She was never there.
The drugs, an established routine, pain, and sleep deprivation, when combined with what they did to you, would be enough not to notice if the voice was a recording.
Logan explained calmly.
Or someone else.
Dylan muttered.
Did you talk with Vi during the downtime?
Some. More than she should have.
She didn't talk back, but I assumed she was too injured, traumatized.
Mary's gut twisted as her mind attempted a recall of the conversations. Why couldn't she remember?
The drugs may have had some adverse side effects,
Logan commented.
You may never remember what all you spoke about.
She asked about the program, if I had it secured,
Mary whispered.
Program?
Dylan prodded.
Hera. Something she and I created. Hive wanted it, but we refused. Then Peter was murdered and...
Mary swallowed.
Things got worse from there.
Peter Ruggers had been like a big brother to her and Vi. He'd co-founded Hive along with Martin Driggs, though they both hated the other man. They'd worked alongside Peter happily. His younger sister, Addie, had become a best friend and was one of the best operatives they had in the field. When Peter was murdered, she and Vi had activated their Hera platform and started a manhunt for whoever killed him. What they found surprised them both.
Martin Driggs was behind this, Mary said. I have to talk to Vi.
Cord's working on it. Driggs has her in some backwater Colombian village on assignment. Getting her attention without drawing anyone else's is a challenge.
Get me a computer. I can do it.
All you're doing is resting,
Logan stated.
Typing would do more harm than good right now.
Right. The arm. The fingernails.
I was hoping you wouldn't talk. I've been waiting to put you in your place a long time, Edge. Telling Command I'm not fit for duty? You'll learn your lesson.
Pliers clamped the edge of her nail. A scream ripped from her throat.
Mary.
The voice startled her. Warm hands cupped her face. Pasture green eyes studied her.
Where did you go?
He asked.
My nails.
Dylan's jaw twitched as his gaze sliced briefly to her fingers.
You recognize anyone? We captured two alive, two dead. How many others?
I'm not sure.
They all wore masks and kept me blindfolded some of the time. I have clues. Moles, birthmarks, speech patterns, body frame types. They left a trail I can follow.
When you're up to it, I'll have Cord come in, sit with you. He's good on a machine and can help until your hand feels better.
The door knocked against the wall.
A massive figure loomed in the entryway.
Dylan half turned, but made no move. Mary relaxed.
We've got a situation up front,
the man said.
Get Marshall or Nolan.
They're part of the situation,
the man replied.
Someone penetrated our perimeter. They've taken hostages in reception.
Mary leaned back and laughed. Pain coursed along her side, but she didn't care. There was only one person who could have penetrated Arsenal defenses without setting off alarms. Well, except for her, of course.
Vi's here. She's okay.
The whispered statement dissolved the last of her unease. Her BFF would sort everything out. For now, Mary could rest. Chapter 3. Dylan entered a war zone. Logan and Mark hot on his heels. Gage Sanderson and all five of his brothers knelt, hands behind their heads, with the business end of weapons trained at their heads. It was who held the gun that made him laugh.
Jesus, y'all were taken down by G.I. Jane wannabes.
A blonde with red, wire-rimmed glasses glanced up from a laptop.
She looked over at the redhead, the only trained one among the four females, and motioned her head toward him, eyes wide and expressive.
Bree, point your gun at the new Rambos. Pull the trigger if they twitch,
the redhead ordered. Bree was a busty blonde, dressed in head